Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Episode of SCOTUSCast. I'm your host, Nicholas Garfinkel. On June 7th, 2021, the Supreme Court decided Sanchez v. Mayorkas. The issue before the court was whether the conferral of temporary protected status under 8 U.S.C. 1254A constitutes an admission into the United States under 8 U.S.C. 1255, adjustment of status of non-immigrant to that of person admitted for permanent residence. In a unanimous opinion authored by Justice Kagan, the court affirmed the ruling of the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, holding that an individual who entered the United States unlawfully is not eligible to become a lawful permanent resident under 8 U.S.C. 1255, even if the United States has granted the individual temporary protected status. The Honorable Grover Reese III, retired U.S. Ambassador to East Timor and former General Counsel of the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service from 1991 to 1993, joins us today to discuss this decision and its implications.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion. Some of you may have listened into the courthouse steps discussion at the time of the oral argument a couple of months ago. And what I said then and what I'm going to say now are not very different, which is that in many ways, this result and this decision are so unsurprising as to be almost uninteresting. It's a unanimous decision that announces a fairly straightforward result that seems to be based on fairly obvious statutory interpretation. But there are some interesting things. And before I review exactly what the decision said, I will confess that as a conservative legal observer, I've probably been guilty of some cynicism. That there is a view among conservative legal observers that you only get unanimous court opinions in favor of liberal results when the Constitution or the statute, the provision being interpreted correctly leads to a policy result that's favored by people on the left. The conservative justices will often support it, but the same is not true, they will say, when the policy outcome would be favored by those on the right. So you can only get a unanimous result when the result-oriented liberals are voting in favor of the result they favor, and the originalist or textualist conservatives are following their method, and they reach the same outcome for different reasons. This is not such a case. The policy result in this case, which was to deny Mr. Sanchez and deny hundreds of thousands of other people the opportunity to become lawful permanent residents and therefore eventually citizens of the United States, is one that many people on the left and some on the right would not favor. And yet, in a unanimous opinion written by Justice Kagan, the court reached the result that from a policy perspective, from a human perspective, might have been fairly painful. And so I think the result is interesting. The opinion is interesting for that reason, and I will get back to that issue later. So the background in this case is that in 1997, Mr. Sanchez entered the United States illegally from El Salvador. He entered surreptitiously. He did not present himself at the port of entry for admission to be admitted or denied. He was not paroled into the country. He simply came across the border and then lived and and worked in the United States for several years until 2001. And in 2001, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration, well, it was then the U.S. INS, granted something called temporary protected status to people who were here in the United States, either legally or illegally, from El Salvador. And it was because of some earthquakes that had made it very difficult for people to return to El Salvador. And for those of you who don't know about the temporary protected status statute, it goes back to 1990, was adopted in 1990. And even then, it was about a different set of crises in El Salvador, the political and civil war crises. Democrats were unhappy that the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration had not been granting asylum to Salvadoran applicants who'd come to the United States in the same percentages that they were granting, for instance, to Nicaraguans or to others who seemed to be more on our side from the standpoint of the administrations. And so the response was, well, a lot of these people are fleeing violence, but they're not fleeing the fear of individual persecution themselves. And so the solution was to come up with a way for people to remain in the country temporarily until the crisis was over. And that was temporary protected status. And it applied to political crises, political violence, but it also applied to other kinds of crises, such as natural disasters. And Salvadorans have enjoyed temporary protected status almost the whole time since the statute was enacted in 1990. They were actually specifically given temporary protected status by the 1990 statute. When that expired a few years later, and I happened to be at INS at the time, we gave them instead something called deferred enforced departure, which was a lot like temporary protected status, except it didn't require it to be currently unsafe to go back. There were various other extensions, and then you had the earthquakes in 2001, and since then, that temporary protected status has been extended several times. And so if you came illegally as a Salvadoran, you're probably in temporary protected status. Or if you came legally, but couldn't go back at the expiration of the time of your visa, maybe you came as a tourist or a student and the earthquakes happened, at that point, you'd be eligible for temporary protected status. Well, Sanchez lived and worked in the United States, did well. And some years later, his employer applied for an employment-based visa, which would have made him a lawful permanent resident, a green card, lawful permanent resident of the United States. And he was deemed by USCIS to be a skilled worker. The visa was approved. Those of you who know about immigration law will know that once a visa is approved by USCIS, you then have to do one of two things to actually get the visa. The normal course, since the presumption is that the visa beneficiary is not currently in the United States, is that he or she goes to an embassy or consulate, typically in the beneficiary's home country, and proves that, yes, I'm the person who is named on this approved visa petition, and I haven't committed any crimes and some other things that have to be proved. And then the visa is granted and the person can come to the United States. But lots of times, the applicant is already in the United States, perhaps illegally, perhaps on another kind of visa, perhaps on a temporary visa. And in those cases, provided there is no bar to it, there's a provision called adjustment of status. And adjustment of status means you don't have to go back to your home country and go to the embassy or consulate and get a visa. You can get it right here in the United States. You pay an additional fee, which last I checked was about $1,000, but it's processed right here in the United States. And your status simply changes from the temporary status you had to that of a lawful permanent resident. Unfortunately for Mr. Sanchez, there is a requirement for adjustment of status that the applicant either have been admitted to the United States or paroled into the United States. Parole being a procedure that's like admission, except there's no legal basis for it. There's just a good reason for it, and parole is generally something temporary. In his case, he had not been admitted because he came across the border surreptitiously, and he was never paroled into the United States. He was simply given temporary protected status. Now, Sanchez's lawyers argued that by getting TPS, he was constructively admitted. He should be deemed to have been admitted because the TPS, the temporary protected status statute, says that the TPS beneficiary shall be considered to be in lawful non-immigrant status during the course of the temporary protection. And so Sanchez's lawyers argued that the whole idea of being in non-immigrant legal status is that if you're considered to have been that, then you should be considered to have been admitted, because admission is linked. That's how you get legal non-immigrant status. The district court agreed, and indeed three U.S. circuit courts in similar cases had agreed with that analysis. They said, we're going to deem these people who have admitted and therefore to be eligible for adjustment of status. The Third Circuit, however, reversed and said, no, admission and status are two different things. And they pointed to several circumstances where you might be in lawful non-immigrant status without having been admitted, or where there are separate requirements for admission on the one hand and status on the other hand. The Supreme Court granted cert in order to resolve the conflict in the circuits, and the Supreme Court affirmed the Third Circuit. As I said, it was a unanimous opinion by Justice Kagan. And the opinion itself is very straightforward. It just reads as a straight textual analysis. It says admission and status are two different things. The adjustment of status statute requires both. It requires that you be in lawful status, which Sanchez was because he had TPS, but it also requires that you either have been admitted to the United States or that you have been paroled into the United States. And in his case, neither was true. Actually, he had on one occasion been paroled, but that didn't cure him of a bar for adjustment against people who had worked in this country. So he was relying on what he deemed to be his admission under the TPS. And Justice Kagan said there is no admission. She pointed specifically to two situations in which you can be in lawful non-immigrant status, but clearly you haven't been admitted. And one of them is alien crewmen who might come, you know, flight crews and so forth, or ship's crews who might come into the United States for a day or two. They're in lawful non-immigrant status while they're here, but the process by which they're allowed to come in is not called admission. And the statute makes that very clear. The other situation is what's called the U visa that was enacted about 20 years ago now. And the U visa is for victims of certain terrible crimes and yet who are allowed to stay in the United States because they cooperate with law enforcement. And the U visa, it makes very clear that they are, in some circumstances, they're in lawful non-immigrant status, and that in some circumstances, not all, they are, quote, deemed to have been admitted. So she said, look, Congress knows how to say you're deemed to have been admitted when it wants to. She answered one argument that was made by Sanchez's lawyers, which is, well, if the statute doesn't, if it only gives you status and it doesn't give you admission and therefore doesn't make you eligible for adjustment of status to permanent residence, then it does precious little. She said, well, it does something. Giving you lawful status is certainly something. It can be very important for lots of people, even if it doesn't also give you admission. And she concludes by saying, it does something, and this court does not get to say that what the statute does is not enough.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.